As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Anyway, so I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve and take out and probably reduce the price of gas maybe 18 cents or so a gallon. It's still going to be above $3. Mm. And one of the things that I refused to have happen, because I didn't want anybody, I made a commitment, if you pass the stuff I'm talking about, not one single penny in tax would go against anybody making less than 400 grand. And so if you notice, these highway bills are not paid for by gas tax. They're paid for by direct expenditures in other areas. Mm-hmm. So the average person doesn't have to pay more. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. There's a possibility to be able to bring it down. Depends on a little bit on Saudi Arabia and a few other things that are in the offing.
That was part of the town hall. That was yesterday evening, which I didn't watch because my son surprised me by coming home from college. But I watched the clips and I watched those for you because I love you. Welcome to the show for Friday. Lots and lots and lots and lots of lots of stuff to get into. Okay, so first off, welcome to the program. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com, and you can go, you need to subscribe to the newsletter because I had one that I wrote this morning that's out about everything that happened. We're going to get into it. I know that's why a lot of new people are probably tuning into the show today, specifically for that reason. And we're going to get into all of that. I'll recap the town hall for you as well. And we'll discuss all of that stuff. So you don't want to miss a single bit of the show. So subscribe to that newsletter because it's also part of it. You get my prep and everything. We got some wokery. We got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. But the town hall last night was pretty unbelievable, and we're going to talk more about that. So the elephant in the room right now. So last night, like I told you, got my Black Rifle coffee out here. I got Blackbeard's Delight today, so we're going to need that one. So last night, I had Hannity last night, and usually days that I do television all the way up until the evening, they're pretty... They're days that are pretty long, and I end up between times that I have to be out on set. What I end up doing is I go to my office and I work on some stuff and plan out the show and do all of that. Well, last night it was a rarity because as soon as I saw my son come in, I was super stoked and I just stopped and I sent you guys a little note last night. Like I haven't seen him forever. I got to spend time with my son. So that's what I did last night. And we ended up watching, some horror movies, things like that, because it's October. It's my month, right? And I have a rule because I've tried to be more purposeful as the show has grown and have done the books and done television. So I've tried to be more purposeful with when I am done with work, I'm done with work. Because this is an industry that you can take home with you. And when you work from home and you build out a studio in your house, you definitely can take it home with you. But it's an industry where you take it home with you. And it's not like, if you're a dentist, you take your stress of dentistry home. I'm not saying that it's not stressful. I'm sure it is. I don't know anything about dentistry. I like my dentist. That's what I know. But politics has always been an industry where the personal is as every bit as important, sometimes more so than the public and the professional. So it's a weird industry, and it's very easy to get eaten up in this industry. And it doesn't matter if you're conservative or Republican. And that's one of the dirty little secrets, that when you get into politics, especially when you're young and you're idealistic and you get into politics and you think I'm on the side where they act like adults. Not everybody does. Some of the nastiest, most deceitful people I've ever met and I've ever had the misfortune of knowing have been on the right. That said, I'm not a communist scum. So, long story short, when I'm off, I'm off. And I do that because I need to, I don't want to burn the candle at both ends, and I have to reset my head. Because sometimes you can get into such a way of looking at an issue that you can't get out of it. And for me, I have to shut everything off completely and disengage my brain from that issue so that if I need fresh eyes, if I need to be fresh on it, I can come back and reexamine it later. And I actually wrote the newsletter that I sent out this morning last night. I have a rule that if things are, because I can get pretty hot tempered. It takes a lot to get me that way. But when I get that way, get out of the way. And so I let things like that sit before I hit publish. And finished a movie and it was like, I don't know, 10:30 something. Almost 11. Maybe it was 11. And I had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I always just shut my phone off. And so I didn't see any of my texts. And I happened to look at my phone and, oh my gosh, I got a ton of different texts and all kinds of stuff. And it was crazy. And then I was like, oh my gosh, people were like, have you looked at Twitter? No, I didn't look at Twitter. Why the hell would I look at Twitter? I was watching a horror movie that our friend Andrew Clavin wrote the screenplay for. And I didn't know until the credits were rolling. I was like, I'll be damned. I'm going to have to message him. Scared the bejeebers out of my youngest. So looking at my phone, so I go and I listen to everybody. I go to Twitter and I see all these people flooding my timeline with past tweets that Alec Baldwin had sent to me, and they are nasty. I mean, he like straight up calls me a murderer and all kinds of stuff. And there are some that I think that he's blocked me since, but there's some that I think he's even deleted because I have screen caps of them and I can't find them. And this was like a couple of years ago after Parkland. A lot of really evil stuff was said by folks saying some really evil stuff. And I don't accept that as being part of the industry. I accept a certain level of pettiness, but I don't accept blatant evil that's presented as virtue because it disagrees with someone politically. And so I saw, you know, all these tweets that people were putting on my timeline. And I'm like, why is this happening? Did he tweet something about me? And then I see that his name's trending. I'm like, oh, geez, what happened? So I go and I look and I find out that he had a mishap with a prop gun on set last night. He accidentally shot and killed the director of photography and the director of his latest film called Rust. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. My first thought was not to listen to my better angels because I like getting even. I do. How lame is that, right? Isn't that just crappy? It's just crappy. We're horrible, horrible species. We are. We're just like we are the worst animals in the animal kingdom. And I, you know, I'm looking at all of this and I see all of this, you know, nastiness being said, and I remember all of the nasty stuff that he said. And I had one tweet about it last night. And, you know, I feel bad for the victims in this. So here's the thing. The left has always been so reckless and irresponsible with their language and that they call advocacy, that they've proved their goals were more about hurting people who support self-defense rather than saving people from losing their lives at the hand of criminals. And Baldwin was one of those people. Now, however you want to put it, I don't believe that he acted with malice. It was an accident, but there's still responsibility in an accident. And I see a lot of people on TV saying stupid stuff already. and people who don't even know what the hell they're talking about, and they're trying to offer their best analysis. And I'm like, why are you just talking about this? I just was listening to TV and someone's like, oh, this comes down to the prop master. Shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear a single one of the rotating, you know, factory of talking heads who probably don't even own guns, much less fire them regularly, to weigh in on stuff like this. Here's the thing. It's not just, and I think it's lame and it's chicken to just throw it all on the prop master. And that's unfair. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, the he deserved it and all this stuff, because I'm going to tell you something. Helena Hutchinson's life is not a gotcha for people who don't like Alec Baldwin. Joel Souza's injuries are not a gotcha for people who don't like Alec Baldwin. And I'm not going to play that ghoulish game. But I'm going to say this. All the people that I see on TV, on multiple cable networks, not one of them are excused. Sitting here saying things like, oh, well, this comes down to just the prop master. And first off, every set has what they call a licensed weapon specialist or armorer. Now, unless you're doing something during filming, the all weaponry on set is locked down by this armorer. And you got to have people like this present if you want to get your film insured, right? So we don't know if this was during filming or not. And I think it's irresponsible to speculate. But all the people who are trying to, you know, insist that this is just the prop guy, actually, maybe some of it is. But you know what? Maybe if people would scream less at Second Amendment advocates and people who advocate for responsible firearm handling, maybe if people screamed at them less, they'd learn more. What's rule number one of firearm handling, kids? You always assume the firearm is loaded. I don't give a rat's ass if you think you're working with blanks or not. And I'll get to the letter that the union sent out. You know, you treat every firearm like it's loaded. When my kids were little, we had that so drilled into their psyche. I even made them do it like that with their Nerf guns. I'm like, you don't point that at anything unless you are accepting the consequences of what happens. So that's rule number one. And rule number two is the person handling the firearm is responsible for where the barrel goes. I'm telling you what we have always taught on the range and what we've always learned on the range and what we have learned out in training and drilling and everything else. That has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with responsibility. You always treat every gun like it's loaded. You always do what they call a press check. If you're dealing with a gun, whether it's a live round or not, you always do a press check, meaning you slide the chamber, you check to see if it's chambered, and you pull the slide back just enough to see if you got a round chambered. And if you're on set and working with blanks, you need to inspect each weapon and round with the licensed weapon specialist. So I've got friends that worked on sets that have dealt with this before. I have friends who are armorers. I mean, and I'm going to go into coming up, I'm going to tell you what a blank is and how blanks work. This was not a blank. The Prop Masters Union sent out an email saying that it was inadvertently a live round. Wow. So we're going to talk about that coming up because I think it's important for this culture. And I think everybody needs to slow their roll. Look, I'm going to tell you what I have, and I don't care how this sounds. I say this because I feel like it's proof of life that the industry hasn't completely just destroyed my soul, right? But I'll say this. I have more reason than most to be a total jackass about this. How do I do that and also claim that I'm advocating for defense and protection and ultimately humanity if I'm ignoring humanity in order to settle the political score? That's lame. I'm not being better. I'm trying to not be worse. So join me in that humanity. We got a lot to get into. We're also going to talk about that disastrous town hall. I don't know why Democrats think this is a win. It's not. So we got sound bites galore. I got some wokery for you and so much more.
If you love steak and barbecue like I do, you've got to try these wines from the extreme altitudes of Argentina. I'm talking about some of the most remote vineyards known to man, deep in the Andes Mountains. They're unlike any other wine you've had before. They taste rugged like the land itself. Blackberry, leather, smoke, dark cherry. Up until now, you'd have to travel thousands of miles just to get your hands on a single bottle. So you'll be one of the first Americans to ever taste them. Our friends over at Bonner Private Wines nearly died trying to find some of these remote vineyards. They're that special. Want to give them a try? Visit conservativewines.com. Today, the guys at Bonner Private Wines are giving my listeners 50% off of these special wines, plus 50% off of the shipping. No need for a promo code. My listeners get 50% off the wine and 50% off the shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so there's a vaccine that... What? I can't... Okay, so first off, you guys know the koalas are apparently mean, right? They're jerks, apparently. They're, like, apparently really super mean animals. I didn't know that. Also, apparently, they're skanks. Do you know that? Koalas are straight-up skanks. So, they have developed a vaccine. This is according to Popular Science, that may curb the koala chlamydia epidemic. Like, they look like little old men bears. How is that possible? So they said 400 koalas are currently undergoing a clinical trial for chlamydia vaccine in Queensland, Australia. They hope that it's finally going to offer the koala populations protections from the disease. It's the most dangerous pathogen for them. This is insane to me. And apparently, they said that they have like some of the same symptoms for humans. And this sentence is sad. Animals can literally cry when urinating. It hurts them that much, according to the University of Sunshine. I didn't know animals cried. Animals can cry when they... That's sad. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess like whimper and pain. That's awful. So anyway, I didn't realize that koalas were like the big bad offenders here. That's just crazy. Merrick Garland asked to appoint a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden. Whether or not he will do it, we will see. Brian Laundrie. That guy. Apparently his remains, this is all too convenient for me, his remains were found in the, I'm not even going to try to say this park. There are so many consonants in this word. It's like a 50,000 letter word. In this park in Florida, they were confirmed the remains to be of Brian Laundrie. They said they had to make the confirmation using dental records. I'm just saying that some gator did some justice out there. So we got that. We have a lot more on the way, folks. A ton of stuff to get into today. We got the town hall, too. Don't go anywhere.
The Biden administration will not let the Border Patrol do its job, so the crisis is only getting worse. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Senator Marsha Blackburn joins me to discuss her frustrating trip to the border and the horrifying news that our government is giving money to human smugglers. I'll also react to stories that some Afghan people are so desperate that they are selling their own children to pay debts. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
What about gas prices? Because some gas states are seeing...
Gas prices relate to a foreign policy initiative that is about something that goes beyond the cost of gas. And we're about $3.30 a gallon most places that now, when it's up from, was down in the single digits. I mean, single digits, a dollar plus. And that's because of the supply being withheld by OPEC. And so there's a lot of negotiation that is, there's a lot of Middle Eastern folks want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm going to talk to them, but the point is, it's about gas production. There's things we can do in the meantime, though.
Do you think there's a, I mean, do you have a timeline for gas prices of when you think they may start coming down?
My guess is you'll start to see gas prices come down as we get by and going into the winter, in the next year, in 2022. I don't see anything that's going to happen in the meantime that's going to significantly reduce gas prices.
Lovely. Yeah. Just lovely. I mean, you know, it's not like we couldn't have, maybe continued to provide cheap and accessible and clean gas and oil to the world market.
We were an exporter. We were drilling.
Dude, we were like beating the Saudis at this. Right. And now we're like, can we please have some more oil? walking up like Tiny Tim. Can I have some more oil? Jeez. Good grief. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. So we're happy to be with you today. I hope that you're having a good day so far. All right, so this town hall last night, I'm gonna tell you something. I got some notes from the clips that I watched, because I wasn't gonna watch the whole thing. I didn't know, and I don't like to see how people struggle. I'm being honest. You want me to be honest, or do you want me to be like, I'm going to be... I try really hard to be the better person with a lot of stuff. Don't expect it of me every issue, okay? It's asking too much of me. I don't think that this was a successful town hall for him. And I do not understand at all how there's anybody at all on the left who thinks that it could have been. So, a couple of things on this. His little town hall. I don't know who decided this was going to be a good idea. Of course, everybody in the audience were pretty much Democrats, and all their questions were super easy. Like, you know, what's your favorite color? I mean, I don't think anybody asked them that I know of, but I wouldn't be surprised. Just saying, I wouldn't be surprised with us, because it was just weird. It was just so. Like the part where he whispered again. Why does he do this? Listen to this audio summit. Why does he do this? Listen.
You're in a circumstance where corporate America is not paying their fair share. And I come from the corporate state of the world, Delaware. More corporations in Delaware than every other state in the union combined. Okay? Now here's the deal, though. You have 55 corporations, for example, in the United States of America, making over $40 billion. Don't pay a cent. Not a single little red cent.
Why does he do that? So this is all related. Just let me tell the story. So there's this movie called The Taking of Deborah Logan. And then there's this other movie called The Visit. And it all has to do with like elderly people. I'm talking like elderly. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking like elderly people. Anybody out there in my audience who might be, you know, who might consider themselves such. And it reminds me, when I was a little kid, I saw this one Twilight Zone episode about this bedridden grandmother who ate her grandkid. And it was a terrifying episode. And I saw it where it was young enough to make an impression on me. Terrified me. I think I've kept that. That's why I always mock Kane when he says that elderly people aren't innocent.
That's not what I said. You always do that to me. I just say not all old people are innocent.
But you're saying most of them aren't.
No, I didn't say most even. I just said not all.
Okay, not all. All right. It's pretty interesting. Anyway, so The Taking of Deborah Logan's, it's crazy. It has an old lady involved in that. And then there's The Visit, where these kids go visit their grandparents, except they're not their grandparents. And it's, I don't care if it's a spoiler alert. Come on. You're not going to watch it. So, and whenever he does this whispering and makes that mean face, I just get that it just is like a horror film. It is just creepy, dude. It's creepy. Stop it. That's not like a verbal italics. Stop it. Just talk like a normal person. Because that, and then he like leans down and talks real close. And I just can't, I don't like him whispering again. And then he did the white power sign, right? Didn't he do that? Yeah, he gave the white power, because that's supposed to be the white power sign. For it actually is. Oh my gosh, can I sidebar something with you guys real quick? I'm just going to say a little quick prayer. Hope they don't listen to the radio show. So my youngest, when he went to his homecoming dance, and a big old group of kids got their pictures together. And the kids like to do like the peace hand sign and all of that. And I heard one of the parents say, okay, but no white power hand signs. We don't want that. Guys, I'm going to witness to you here real quick. You know God exists, because I was like, please put a hand over my mouth. God, please bring a mighty, giant, heavenly hand. Place it right on my mouth. Put a piece of iron over it like they did with Wile E. Coyote and, you know, and all those Warner Brother movies. Please, please. And the fact that I did not say anything in response to this is proof of God's existence, because only a divine power could have stopped that. There you go. There it is. There's your church for today. That's proof, man. That is proof. You know me, Kane. If Kane, you would have been like, I can't believe, you would have felt like you witnessed something religious.
Right. I almost would have said it for you.
I mean, it would be like seeing Jesus in toast or something. The fact that I did not say anything because God prevented it. That's the only way that happens. That's the only way. I thought it. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it. But I didn't say it. I didn't give myself a back pat for that. Hold up. So good, Dana. So good. I have a backpack from backpacks for me. It's a true story. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, the white power sign that he did. So is he a racist now? Where's everybody screaming about that? Remember, I mean, they were trying to get like kids in college in trouble, and they were trying to get like these army recruits in trouble, and these, you know, Navy Sea, these seamen in trouble. They were trying to get all these people in trouble.
They would literally go after them in the media and have police look for them. It was so weird.
Because they did the Joe Biden white power sign. Well, I'm not surprised that he would know it. I mean, this was a guy who championed segregation. He eulogized the Grand Wizard. The hell are they? They have these imaginary levels. Like, at least Dungeons and Dragons makes sense. I don't know what this is. What was that guy? The old guy who actually said a racial slur on air in front of Matt Lauer, who probably, had he not been, I guess, molesting women in his office at Locked after they entered, would have maybe had time to be more shocked.
I think it was Grand Wizard.
Was it a wizard? Or it's like a narwhal, like the exalted narwhal or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, damn. I got to look that up.
I don't know. It's anyway. Yeah, he like eulogized the exalted narwhal or whatever of his party's activist group, the Klan. So I'm not surprised Joe Biden would know it. No one's surprised at this. But he just, like, he was awkward, and he was just awkward. And then Anderson Cooper had to help him remember where he was at one point. He was like, yeah, we're in, and he was in Long Beach. And then Joe's like, why? What am I doing here? And then he just didn't know what to do with his hands. I'm just watching video of his movement. And he stood there for a while, literally like this. Imagine you are trying to think what you're doing. Imagine you're riding a motorcycle or a bicycle, your choice. And then take your fists and then put them to where your thumb is facing up. And then he stood there like that forever. I totally thought of Talladega Nights and that scene where Ricky Bobby's given his first interview and he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. And that he stood there like he was a rocket man getting ready to just fly off into the ether. I don't know. And then he said that he saw the mayor of Baltimore in the audience, and it was actually a congressman who was never a mayor of Baltimore. And there were all kinds of weird, really weird, just weird things. And then he said wages were up, but they're not. They've actually been cut in half because of inflation. I don't know. And then what was this? Audio sound by 13. For the love.
The question was on the community colleges.
Which
was a big campaign promise that you made. You talked about that a lot on the campaign trail.
Yeah, and I'm going to get it done. And if I don't, I'll be sleeping alone for a long time.
There's a number of different ways I could take this. So, I'm assuming he's talking about his wife and not like collegians. I'm just, who knows? I don't assume anything, including, you know, apparently we can't assume anything about anybody. I'm just saying. So this was a very weird, very weird town hall. It was weird. And I don't think that anything was solved in this. He said that he also agreed with terminating police officers who do not get the vaccine. He had said this. And I also think, too, that this is just them. And I have this audio. I also think that this is just them. Really, this is like another defund the police. Listen.
In three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes.
So yeah, they do. They are for defunding the police. Yeah, look at that. Look at, see, they're back to it now. Dude, I'm telling you, this was a weird thing. It was just kind of a train wreck. And then when he was asked about the border, can I play this for you?
Sure.
We got this. Listen to this.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But I plan on, now my wife Jill has been down. She's been on
both
sides of the river. She's seen the circumstances there. She's looked into those places. You notice you're not seeing.
So he went, he's had time to go to the beach for a weekend. He's spent most of his weekends in Delaware. He's only been on a couple of international trips. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about right there, but that's not right. That's, wow. He's been too busy. Remember all the hurricane damage he looked at? No. No. On the internet, maybe? Is that what he's talking about? I've been too busy on the computer. And then he made fun of freedom because he was talking about vaccines and everything else. Listen, this is where he was asked. I know we got to get moving, but I got to play this for you. Listen.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
Wow. Wow, you guys. That was last night. Do you see why now I didn't watch it, Kane?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why would you assume that getting COVID is a death sentence when it's literally...
So he just basically says that people who don't get the injection are all murderers.
Yeah. Or that if you get COVID without being vaccinated, somehow
because
you're
dead. Science.
Yeah. Unreal.
This guy is a Fruit Loop. Good heavens. We got more of this, believe it or not. I got some wokery for you, too. You don't want to miss. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you sign up as well for that newsletter. Good heavens. So, this, we've been talking about the town hall, and we're going to talk more about this, the prop gun thing with Alec Baldwin here coming up in our next hour, because I'll explain to you. First off, they had the union, the prop masters union. They went out and sent out an email saying that it was a live round that was used. I know a lot of people have questions as to how that could have happened. We're going to discuss that, and we'll get into what that means, because I'm bristling a bit at some of the commentary that I'm seeing on cable news. Because people think that it's just specifically, and it's not the prop master, they're called an armorer or a licensed weapons specialist. And they have to have people, it's not just a prop master, it's someone who is specifically works with weaponry, with firearms. And they have this stuff really, they have this stuff locked down normally, which is why I'm like, is this, I'm sure that the investigation will be ongoing, and they'll have to figure out if this is something, did it happen when they were filming? Did it happen when they weren't filming? And the people who are trying to push this on specifically the prop master alone, I think it's irresponsible. Yes, I think that the person who is the armorer deserves absolutely to take some responsibility, is culpable in this, because how did a live round get in where they were using blanks? And I'll explain how the blank is constructed and all that stuff. It's still, by the way, that can still also be dangerous, just so you know. And it, I mean, you can have too much like accelerant. You can have, I mean, that can also be dangerous too. But I'm just curious, because the New York Post piece that came out does not look good. And Baldwin was saying, in all my years, I've never, he was quoted in New York Post as saying, in all my years, I've never been handled a hot gun. I didn't know it was a live round. If that, add that quote attribution, if that is true, it does not, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter who hands you something. You are responsible for knowing what you're handling, knowing if it's loaded, knowing if it's a live round, knowing if it's hot. You and you alone, you are the last gatekeeper, the person who handles that firearm. And maybe, just maybe, if people had screamed at folks like me and other 2A advocates who have talked ad nauseum about responsible firearm handling, maybe if folks had listened to us instead of screamed at us about having blood on our hands every single time for the past 10 years that there was a shooting, someone said, oh, well, you're making this about you. No, you jackasses, you made this about me and every other Second Amendment supporter for the past decade. So have a million seats. We're going to talk about this coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show after this. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Well, you realize the Chinese are now building another high-speed rail line that will go up to 300 miles per hour? You say, what difference does that make, Biden? Well, guess what? If you can get in a train and go from here to Washington much faster than you can go in an automobile, you take a train. You take the train. We will take literally millions of automobiles off the road.
Jeebus. Well, so there's Biden. I mean, how else do you introduce that? Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's good to be with you. And this Friday, we got a number of things that we're discussing. We're going over the town train wreck hall, something. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, not quite sure. But we're covering we're not learning anything from him. It's just how crazy he is. Like when he was like, I made all the vaccinations happen. And the Associated Press was like, nuh-uh. And then when he said, you know, that, and when he did his weird whispering. There we have it. Goodness. So, and we've also been discussing the situation that took place on that set of the film Rust that is being directed by Alec Baldwin. And I had a big piece, a newsletter that went out this morning that discussed this. It discussed all of this. And I've seen, you know, some of the talking heads and everybody's trying to lay blame and all that stuff. And I really do believe that we have to initially, there has to be an investigation. You got to figure out, I think it's important to, when this happened. Was it during filming? Was it not during filming? And there's an important reason why that is. But as I said, yesterday. I didn't even check Twitter. I didn't even check Twitter last night. And I happened to look on Twitter stupidly before I was going to bed because I had friends that were texting me saying, oh my gosh, did you see this? And look on Twitter. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And people were sending me comments that Alec Baldwin had made about me before. And I've only met him one time at my friend Megyn Kelly's book launch, her first book. And this, I stupidly checked it last night. And I saw all these people were tweeting some of the horrible comments that Baldwin had said to me in the past, particularly after Parkland, where he was one of those ignorant, horrible voices that apparently felt the priority was about hurting people who disagree with him on self-defense rather than saving people from losing their lives at the hand of criminals. And if you didn't know what happened, the media have been kind of careful with the wording, but ultimately it was reported that he accidentally shot and killed the director of photography and the director of his latest film with a prop gun on the set. And I said in my piece, I said, you know, the headline would be worse if he was a 2A supporter. I'm not here to, like, to pull schadenfreude or anything like that, but I am going to be realistic about this. First off, I don't like the comments that I've seen from people saying, well, you know, this is his karma. That is such garbage because Halna Hutchins' life, the lady who was the director of photography, that's her life is not a gotcha for anybody. That's not a way to get even. Nor are Sousa's injuries. And this, we don't need to play the left's ghoulish game of exploiting tragedy to settle scores. No matter how loud my lesser angel is. And I think I have more reason than many, if not most, because innocent lives matter more than political grandstanding. So here's the thing. There are a lot of people who are going to, you're going to watch Twitter turn into like firearm expert Twitter. There are a lot of people who, you know, they're trying to cast blame and all of this. And you got to be careful with that stuff because those things can have, that has legal implications. And the, my thought is that I don't believe that he did this out of malice or with any kind of malice, but, and I do think that accidents can be called accidents because they're accidents. But there's a couple of things in here because I see some people on television saying, oh, well, this is because of the prop master. A prop master is not the same thing as a licensed weapon specialist or what they refer to on set as an armorer. Those people handle the weaponry. And they usually, I mean, unless you're filming, that stuff is, from what I understand, it's pretty strictly, you can't just like go up and take something and start playing around with it. That's kind of what makes me think that maybe they were on set. Maybe that's what this was. They were on set and filming. But the other thing is that even if, and I saw this New York Post piece that came out this morning, and the New York Post had a letter from the union, the prop masters union. And they said that the prop gun apparently contained a live round. IndieWire had the original statement. And they had said that apparently, according to the union that sent out, it had to do, apparently it was a live round that was included in this firearm. And it is IATSE Local 44. It covers prop masters and armorers. But they said that apparently the gun used in the scene contained a live round. So this makes me think that this was during filming. They also said that this particular armorer was not a member of Local 44. And they said that the director was also hit and injured by a bullet and was treated at an area hospital. So this wasn't a blank. So this wasn't, it was live rounds. I don't know how many shots were fired. I don't know if it was two rounds that were fired or what it was. But the way that they described the event was as an accidental weapons discharge. And this is all we know so far. It was It was described as an accidental weapons discharge in which a live single round was accidentally fired on set by the principal actor, hitting, and so it hit the director of photography. So it was one round that was shot. It hit the director of photography, and then it hit the director of the film. The director of photography is a member of the Local 600 and Sousa as well, apparently. And then the Local 44 confirmed that all of the props and set decoration and everything else, all of that, they were New Mexico crew members. They said there were no Local 44 members on the call sheet. And so, I mean, it's awful because now you have the Hutchins family that just lost one of their own. And then you have the Sousa family that has one of their own recovering in the hospital. And this is not the first time something like this has happened. I mean, everybody remembers most famously in 94. I was in high school at the time. Brandon Lee was shot and killed. And that, I mean, that changed, I think, a lot of the protocol with things as well. But here's the bottom line. You can sit here and talk about prop masters and everything else all day long, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, the last and final gatekeeper is the person who's handling the gun. The person's handling the gun is the person who's responsible. You treat every gun as though it's loaded. You always do a press check to see if you got a round chambered. And then if you're on set and if you're working with what you assume might be blanks, you inspect each weapon and round with a licensed weapon specialist and know how it's assembled. Now, there's a reason why firearm etiquette's important, because it's about safety and safety first. Bottom line. Baldwin was a producer on this set. He was the main star of the film. He had a lot of sway here. So the one New York Post piece that I saw had said that he was quoted in saying that he said in all my years, and this is what Showbiz 411 also added, had said, in all my years, I've never been handed a hot gun. And he was apparently distraught, and he was asked why he was given a hot gun. Why was he given this? And, you know, he was apparently crying on set, obviously. But it doesn't matter if he was given a hot gun or not. You're supposed to check this. It is still a level of recklessness on his part. You can't just assume that what... Look, I have a friend. I'm not going to say any names. We were actually talking this morning. I'm not going to say any names. But this friend works in film and television in Hollywood on a number of big things currently. And they were saying that they had to deal with prop guns like this before, using in films where there were, in television where there was, you know, there was simulated gunfire. And my friend had said that they had always felt weird about it, but you do trust the team around you. However, my friend also was saying that they always checked everything. You check either if you're not allowed to check all by yourself, then you check with the, for insurance purposes, then you check with the licensed weapon specialist on set. And they were saying that in the end, you know, you can have some negligence on a part of the person who is, you know, the prop master or armorer, but also on the person controlling the gun. And that's it. But my friend was saying that they would actually stop. They didn't allow anything to be on set near them unless they stopped. My friend said they made the prop master fully cycle the gun, showing it to be clear before every single take. And they said that gun did not leave their sight until the director said action. And my friend even was like, it even kind of annoyed the director a little bit. But my friend was like, I don't care. Nobody is going to have a gun to my head that I haven't inspected. And my friend knows firearms, shoots firearms, and served. So there's, at the end, when you're the producer, and you're the star of the film and you have that much sway on set, ultimately, and you can't sit here and say, well, I was given a hot gun. Ultimately, that responsibility falls on you. And it's reckless to not do your due diligence and check. You can't just assume. And I don't enjoy saying that because I know that Baldwin's in a bad place right now. Even if it wasn't intended, obviously it wasn't. But there's a person who lost their life and he is in a bad place over that. And no matter, you know, what the circumstances were that led to this, he's going to have a serious amount of grief and probably guilt. It doesn't make a difference to his grief that there was no malice or that it was all an accident. And he's going to be angry at himself with the recklessness involved because ultimately you control the firearm you handle. I'm just praying for the victim's family. I'm even praying for Baldwin. Because I would not wish what he's going through right now my worst enemy. I wouldn't. We have a lot more to come. The town hall, I got wokery. And later on, we're going to talk to one of the comic artists with DC who left because of the wokery. We're going to talk about some of this coming up, too. So you don't want to miss a single bit of the show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right. So a few things here. I got to get that koala story from last hour out of my head. I don't know why they broke it down like this. So the Salt Lake County Health Department tracked the number of residents vaccinated by date of birth. They found that Leos have a full 70% vaccination rate. Aquarian, why are they doing this? They are the second most vaccinated at 67%. Scorpios were at the bottom of the list at 46%, right below Virgos at 50%. Now they said they got mixed reviews, but they stood by it. They said that, I don't know, that's weird. Why do that like that? The highest was Leo, 70%, Aquarius, 67%, Aries, 59%, Sagittarius, 59%. Pisces is 51%. I'm disappointed that Libra's 54%. Not for the reasons that some people might think. Well, yeah, you might think that. Did the health department use tax dollars to do this? I'm just curious.
So apparently I'm dead last.
Look at you. But that's weird. Steve's dead last and yet he's not. How insane is that? That's weird. I don't know. Tax dollars went for this. Does it actually matter? I don't know if I actually... I don't know what I think about all that stuff. But anyway, I'm just waiting for the oils and crystals part next. Let's see here. Also, Joe Biden said he's open to killing the filibuster. Of course, you know that. This was in the town hall last night. Additionally, this is awful. The Taliban, our Afghan partners, had beheaded a girl who was on the national volleyball team. This is such a sad story. This is a report out of, European media. They said that one of the women who had previously played on the Afghan volleyball team, their national team, she was beheaded. She was one of the best players in the Kabul Municipality Volleyball Club. She was slaughtered in Kabul as troops searched for female sports players. Her coach told the Persian Independent. It was picked up by the New York Post and The Guardian. They said they had killed her earlier in the month, but they kept it hidden and threatened her family to not talk. Our Afghan partners, folks, stay with us.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
I said it before, and all my colleagues here know it. According to the United States Intelligence Community, domestic terrorism from white supremacists is the most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland. To that end, our administration is carrying out the first ever comprehensive effort to tackle the threat posed by domestic terrorism, including white supremacy.
So parents and white supremacists. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you. So that was, man. I'm trying to think here. I still haven't, I just don't, oh man, I'm made of things that are just not politically correct to say. Where are they getting this information? For real. Where's the information? Where are they getting this at? Where are the statistics from this? Good grief. I'm so tired of this guy saying this. Honestly, it feels like I really do think that the biggest threat to this country right now is this administration.
We have more proof than that.
Yeah, we do. It's really this administration. They keep going. They have to have some kind of like boogeyman. Now, guys, let's ignore all of the horrible things that we've done to the economy. Let's ignore how we abandoned Americans in Afghanistan. Let's ignore the crisis at the border and the fact that there were 52 people who Panama flagged as having connections to Al-Qaeda that were coming up with migrants towards the southern border. It's white supremacy. Well, if Biden wants to blame himself, okay, I'll have that. That's okay. By the way, did you guys hear that story? Panama's government, their foreign ministry, actually had reached out to the administration to let them know that they used biometric screenings, that they had flagged, detained 52 people who had been trying to come up to the southern border. And these 52 individuals apparently had connections to terror groups like Al-Qaeda. And they were telling, I spoke yesterday with Congressman Tony Gonzalez here from Texas, and they were telling Congressman Gonzalez that, yeah, the foreign minister was of Panama, was telling Gonzalez that, yeah, we were trying to talk to the administration about this, and they really weren't hearing it. They really didn't want to have a conversation about it. 52. Now, what about everybody else that's already come in? That we were not able to check, much less, you know, see if they even had coronavirus. What about all those people? That seems kind of important. I mean, if you're going to call me a terrorist, I've been called a domestic terrorist by sitting members of Congress for whatever reason. But if they're going to call regular, average, everyday people terrorists, then I think that the administration needs to explain why they're allowing people to come in without verifying their associations and origin, etc. And you have Panama who's like, hey, FYI, it's very important that you guys know this. I mean, good grief. So, I saw this tweet. Let me pull this up. I'm trying to be real cool. I don't think it's going to work. Jake Tapper, who unfollowed me because he got mad at me. We argued privately. And we had been friends for a long time. He has a picture with my son on set because we'd always gotten along, even though I don't agree with him on everything. We'd always gotten along. He got mad at one of those Ohio Republican Senate candidate who had said, "Dear Jack, let Trump back on. We need Alec Baldwin tweets." Oh, I get it. I know it might be funny, but it's just not. It's in bad taste. It is in bad taste. Come on. I don't want to lose my humanity like many on the left have. That's what makes us better. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us funner, right? And I don't feel bad saying that. People who are like, oh, well, that's weak. You don't even know what strength is, and you don't know what weakness is until you've sat in an auditorium where people scream, "Burn her," and actually climb the stage to try to get a hit in. Have a million blanking seats. I've been to need a no one on that. Tapper tweeted, "This is a horrible accident that resulted in one woman killed, one man injured, other lives damaged, if not destroyed forever." Prompting this, I gotta say, it would have been nice if he would have called out guests on his own network when they were saying that Second Amendment advocates were all complicit in the Parkland massacre, when ultimately what we discovered is that the superintendent just didn't report the murderer's criminal behavior, his felonious activity, or that POS horrible excuse for a male who disgraced the badge he wore, Scott Israel, who tried to pin it all on me on stage on national television. And as it turned out, he ignored 63 calls from neighbors and family of the murderer to the police. And that they had ignored numerous reports. And they were aware of what was going on. They were aware of him. How he had threatened to kill fellow students online, which violates Florida state statute. And that alone was considered enough of an offense to make that murderer a prohibited possessor before he ever bought his firearm. And all those guests that CNN had on, not once did Jake Tapper say anything like this to any of those guests. So I don't believe your pretend good graces. I don't believe in your trying to be the better person here. I've seen this from 10 years for people. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that really aggravates me, I tweeted this thing last night because I was starting to get blown up. I had said, after all the crazy redacted Baldwin has said to and about me, I'm going to have more grace than him right now and leave it at that. And I had a number of people come out and say, a number of people on the left, oh, well, you're just making this about you. You're making this about you. No. That is what you leftist jackwagons have done for over a decade. You have made every mass shooting, every mass casualty incident before the bodies are even cold. You have made it about every Second Amendment advocate. You have made it about every mother who keeps a firearm by her bedside when her husband travels for work because she doesn't want to be attacked and raped in her home. You have made it about the father who's a construction worker who just wants to make sure that he has a sidearm when he shows up for work at 4 a.m. You have made it about every man and woman in this country who simply wants to preserve their right of self-defense. And you've done it for well over a decade. So don't you, by God, give me the excuse that, oh, you're making this about you. You people did that. And now because a Democrat's involved, you expect everyone to turn the other way. Try to keep my cool, but y'all tested me. I don't like the remarks that, oh, well, this is karma or this is that's garbage. We're not like the left and we shouldn't act like ghouls like they do. I don't care who you are. There's a woman who lost her life. And you know what gets me? There are people that I definitely don't like and hate. Is a heavy word, and I try to be real careful in using it only for very serious stuff. Like, I hate Green Day, and I hate green beans because they're horrible and gritty. The green beans. I try to keep things to disagreement about issues and not personal with people. Because that's when you strip people of their humanity and see them as issues. That's kind of one of the reasons why we're in this position, is it not? And I was looking at all this, and I saw some of these pictures. Some of the pictures that we've even shown apparently were taken. I don't know who took them. It's a man in the middle of grief because he shot and killed someone. And unintentionally, but it doesn't make it any less reckless, the handling. But he wouldn't have done it. It wouldn't have meant to do it. And I don't wish that feeling on my worst enemy and people I hate even. You don't know. This is the only kind of speculation I'm going to do. I don't care what he has said. He said some, I have a real good reason to try to settle the score with this guy, and I find it ghoulish if to even try. I'm more concerned, honestly, with everybody's heart health here. Because I can only imagine what it was like when apparently it was one shot and they think it was going to be for, filming, and then the sudden horrible realization that he had fatally struck the director of photography, a woman who's my age, actually, someone that he hired. And he knew her, and she has a young son and a husband. And that realization that I can't even imagine. I would not wish that on my worst enemy, and neither should you. You know, the one thing that I discovered, and I tried to make this point before, and I've always been screamed at. One of the things that I've always tried to do is tell people about responsible handling, and I've been yelled at for that. But in self-defensive, and I went back and I did a lot of research about this, not just for my first book, but even, you know, afterwards. And when the first time I ever did force on force training, I got yelled at by my instructor because they said I hesitated too long. And in my mind, I was weighing out in this scenario every legal implication of what I was doing. Did I get behind the car? Did I put in, and what state? If I was in Washington state and I didn't retreat, then I would be in trouble if I was this and that. And they said, you can't be doing that in these situations. And that's why they said, and I went and I was researching this. A lot of people who are involved in defensive gun usages and when they end up killing or wounding the suspect, it is, they're sick over it. Even though it was someone that was trying to hurt them, they're sick over it. The overwhelming number of people. And in fact, hesitation is actually the number one problem. I was told this by top tier instructors that I spent days training with, doing night classes, inclement weather training, cold weather training, all of that. It's actually hesitation. That's the biggest problem that law-abiding gun owners face. Because, and it actually, and here's where it gets even more just heart-wrenching. It's easy to act like a hard ass and say, yeah, I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. I think about the legalities, but in a real situation, people are suddenly faced with the realization that I have to end this life or potentially end this life to save my life. That's a heavy thing. As hard as you think you are, you're not hard enough to not be affected by that. And if you are, you have problems. And my point is that I know everybody wants to do Schadenfreude and all this stuff. You got a family that is just mourning and is shocking. And you have someone who is going through personal hell right now. So I think that I hope people say a prayer, not just for the family that are dealing with the loss, but also I think for Baldwin. There are a lot of people in here. And one of the things too is, how in the world does something like this happen? I know people who do a lot of firearms training. I know the guy who does trained counter racer John Wick and all that. I've always wanted to go out there, Terran Tactical. I just can't imagine. There's going to be a lot of questions here. How did a live round get in there? We got a lot more to talk about, folks. And I got wokery for you. We got a lot of things coming up. We've been talking about the town hall that nobody watched. I didn't even see a story about the ratings. Did you? I didn't even see a story about the ratings. So we got the town hall that nobody watched. And we got wokery. I got some Rona stuff, because now the CDC wants to redefine what fully vaccinated means. And I'm going to tell you all about that here coming up.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness, and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at DeltaRescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly DeltaRescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at DeltaRescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit DeltaRescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I got a number of the beer. I by the way, yes, I now know that World of Beer is a real place. A real place. Thank you. I did not know that yesterday. So a Florida man fled officers on a tractor trailer while driving in the wrong direction on I-95, according to, this was in Maryland. He drove all the, Maryland State Police said they took a Florida man into custody after he fled officers while driving a tractor trailer in the wrong direction on I-95. Shortly before 12:30 p.m., troopers responded to the Maryland House Travel Plaza for a reported theft. They found a person who told police that his jacket and keys had been stolen while inside of the plaza. The victim notified the police that the suspect was the driver of a specific tractor trailer. And while the victim was informing the police of the theft, that exact time, police were advised of a tractor trailer exiting the travel plaza on the wrong side, and it began traveling south on the northbound lanes, driving against traffic. So after 3 miles, 37-year-old Maurice Cooper stopped the tractor trailer on the fast shoulder in an active work zone. Highway workers were working. They got him. The driver did not cooperate. He is now in the pokey. He's in jail. I mean, that's kind of crazy. Good heavens. Stick with us. We got a lot in store. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
What will you do to keep up with them militarily, and can you vow to protect Taiwan?
Yes and yes. We are militarily, China, Russia, and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world. Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful. What you do have to worry about is whether or not they're going to engage in activities that will put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake. And so I've spoken and spent more time with Xi Jinping than any other world leader has. That's why
it's
you
not
have
a good thing, dude.
You know, you hear people saying Biden wants to start a
but
new Cold
Panama
War with
Red.
China. I don't want a Cold War with China. I just want to make China understand that we are not going to step back. We are not going to change any of our views.
So are you saying that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment to do.
Okay, so that was POTUS. That was yesterday at the last night at the town hall, right?
Yeah.
So here's my thing, and I know that we were talking about a number of things. I got a million different things actually still to hit. But can someone explain to me why the hell that he was being fact-checked by his own advisors while this was going on live? Anybody? Anybody got any ideas on any of this stuff?
Were they just affirming that he said it was true? Is that what they were doing?
Well, here's the thing. So I'm pulling this tweet up. And first off, welcome back to the show, danalash.com. It's good to be with you this Friday. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. All kinds of good stuff up there. So this is what Reuters tweeted last night, right? So this was right after. So this is after Biden was on with Anderson Cooper. And they tweet, the United States would come to Taiwan's defense and has a commitment to defend the island China claims as its own, U.S. President Joe Biden said through the White House. Said, though the White House said later, there was no change in policy towards the island. So they say that Joe Biden says the United States would come to Taiwan's defense, though the White House said later there was no change in policy. What? Excuse me? Yeah. So that's the... Biden had said at that town hall, you heard him, yes, we have a commitment to do that. And while Washington is required by law to provide Taiwan, according to Reuters, with the means to defend itself, it's long followed a policy of strategic ambiguity as to whether or not it would intervene militarily to protect Taiwan in the event of an attack by the communist Chinese. So now a White House spokesperson says, no, Biden was not announcing any change in U.S. policy. There's no change in our policy. And then declined to comment anymore. There were a number of issues that they did this with. And so I am actually very concerned that here you have the president of the United States. It's being fact checked in real time. On this is a super important issue. I don't ever remember anybody else's administration doing that, fact checking POTUS's own people fact checking POTUS, either right after or during a town hall. Oh my gosh, if they had done this during Barack Obama would craft his answers, even though if he knew he was lying, he would at least craft his answers to where they wouldn't have to, his own people didn't have to come out and correct him on their positions after, you know? And if anybody did that, their heads would roll. Oh my gosh.
I'm reading this right now. Under the Taiwan Relations Act, it says, we will uphold our commitment under the act. We will continue to support Taiwan's self-defense and will continue to oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo. And under that act, the U.S. provides the island with support, but they're not bound in a formal military alliance, the Financial Times reported.
Mm-hmm.
So, whoa.
Yeah. Do you see now? Hey. I mean, that's kind of, that's troubling that they have to actually do this. I mean, that's troubling. And there, like I said, there were, they had one on gas, energy. They had a piece, I think that one came through Politico with OPEC. Where they would actually have to, they were clarifying things that he said. Kane is literally doing the wiping the brow thing right now. I'm not even exaggerating.
I mean, there's a level of giving the president benefit of the doubt with the things that he says. You know what I'm saying? But this is pretty ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. I just, this is so insane. Almost as much as what he was saying. Did we have this? Or if not, I have it here. Almost as insane as Biden saying that the insurrection on the Capitol 9 months ago was about white supremacy. Yeah, play that. Because this was his speech. Remember, he made the speech yesterday at the MLK Memorial? Listen.
Torches emerging from dark shadows in Charlottesville, carrying out Nazi banners and chanting anti-Semitic bile and Ku Klux Klan flags.
What?
The violent, deadly insurrection on the Capitol 9 months ago. It was about white supremacy.
Whoa. Okay. Now, we were live on air when that happened. And I don't like violence as a form of protest. Period. And I said so at the time. And I'm like, if you're busting up the windows in our house, I got a problem with you. I got a problem with you doing that. Just like I had a problem with that there were a lot more people there that showed up to have a nice little protest and then go to the food truck. And then you see video. People had no idea. They were just like going in. But I did not see what did he say? White supremacist flag or Klan flag? Do they have a flag?
I think he was talking about Charlottesville there. Like, you know how he does. He one sentence becomes three subjects. So yeah, he was talking about Charlottesville there, and of
so
all
here's
the
okay. Here's
stuff.
My question: if January 6th was about January 6th was about white supremacy, why didn't people? Why weren't there riots when Barack Obama won? I'm for real. Like, why?
No, that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, why weren't there riots when he won?
Yeah,
twice.
From everything I've seen on the quote unquote, they keep calling it insurrection. It wasn't
insurrection.
No, not
Jeebus.
At all.
Nobody oh my was. Gosh, it's not an. That's like saying that Zima is a real alcoholic drink. Shut up. It's not.
But there was nothing.
Or Boone's Farm is real good wine. It's not.
There was nothing about that event on January 6th that was, you know, essentially fueled by white supremacy. Nothing.
That's what he did there at the Martin Luther King Memorial. What? Good grief. Just insane. Also, this story. This is something else. So pull this up. It's a different window. CDC director says we have to update our definition of fully vaccinated as booster eligibility increases. That's okay. That's one of the things that they're, I guess, looking to. They're going to redefine what fully vaccinated means. Do you have that audio? If not, it's because I think it's like 5 minutes, and I think I don't necessarily need it, but actually here I have this. This is like 24. Let me play this real quick for you because it's 24 seconds. Just bear with me because this is where she's asked about this. This was a COVID-19 response. It's like a stream on the White House page, and they have video of this.
Yeah, it's a really great question. Right now, we don't have booster eligibility for all people currently. So we are going to, we have not yet changed the definition of fully vaccinated. We will continue to look at this. We may need to update our definition of fully vaccinated in the future. But right now, what I would say is if you're eligible for a booster, go ahead and get your booster, and we will continue to follow.
And the current CDC.
Yeah, it's a really great question.
Yeah, so they're saying, you know, the current CDC definition. She's like, yeah, we haven't changed it to update it. So we would need, I would think that if you were going to redefine what fully vaccinated means, I would think that if you're fully vaccinated, that means that you have an immunity and you can't transmit the virus. Right, Kane?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
Oh, that's what she had said about the injections. So, okay. Why? I would just think that you would save that phrase, fully vaccinated, for when you can't transmit it anymore. And you are immune. Right? That's usually what that. This is politics that they're mushing into the science. It's like the shape sorter, and politics is the round shape, and the politics is the round shape, and science is the square hole, and they're trying to mash politics into science. That's what it's like. It's not working. Speaking of science, by the way, I had where was this at? I have some wokery here. I cannot go on. Okay, so this comes from, literally, it is a verified account called The Scientist. It's a verified account, and it's a publication that's about exploring life and inspiring innovation. And they tweeted, quote, male placentas produce more pro-inflammatory molecules than female placentas, while pregnant people carrying male fetuses produce fewer antibodies in response to infection. Now, though, what they're saying is placentas with a male infant and a female infant, but the whole while pregnant people carrying male fetuses? You mean women? That people can't, and I have all these, you have the responses that women are people, Dana. Yep, and they're the only ones who can also give birth. Right. And? Just say women. Why is it so hard? Women. Women. And this is from a publication called The Scientist. These are also the people who extol you to follow the science. Listen to us on boosters, and also men can have babies. What? I'm following you for science? Would you go get operated on? Would you have your bits operated on? Like, say you've I don't know what happened. Say or just an operation in general, who could not tell whether you were a dude or a chick. Men can have babies. Okay, I'm going to operate on you now. I will. Hell no. Uh-uh. I would be very unnerved by that. I would be very uncomfortable by that. Because I would think that they're not involved in science, that they're involved in politics and anything that's not science. Whew. My gosh. So a couple of, I have so many other things. I'm going to tell you what we got coming up for you at the bottom of the hour, though. So Ethan Van Sciver is an illustrator and has done covers for a ton of different superhero titles, right, for DC Comics. And he has spoken out, too, on all of this ridiculousness with, you know, the American Way and Superman and all this stuff. We're going to talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. So you don't want to miss all kinds of good stuff. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit LegacyPminvestments.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, a few things here. Like I told you, coming up, we're going to talk about the Superman wokery. A few things here. Some of these. So the Haitian gang that is holding the 17 Americans hostage says that they are going to kill said Americans if the ransom is not paid. This is something that the Wall Street Journal had reported. They were talking about these missionaries abducted last Saturday in the eastern suburb of the capital when an armed gang forcibly stopped the minibus carrying the men, women, and children. The group includes an 8-month-old baby. They were returning from a visit to a nearby orphanage. I don't know why. I mean, you could just send a spec ops team right down there to clean up. You know what I'm saying? It would be, you could easily do like some expendable stuff. Just saying. Used car prices hit a new high. Yay, Bidenflation. Oh my gosh. So this is fun. Putting Team Transitory to shame. So you have a huge jump in used car prices. The latest from Manheim shows BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, their September print for used cars and trucks is about to just go sky high, a new all-time high. It's the Manheim U.S. Used Vehicle Value Index. They said that the first 15 days of October, it increased 8.3% compared to September. From a year ago, the index is up 37%. That's insane. Used car prices are going through the roof. Through the roof. And of course, guess it's $7.59 a gallon in one California town. According to KABC Channel 7 in Los Angeles, it's Gorda, California, near the Big Sur, Big Sur Coast. $7.59 per gallon of gas. $8.50 for a gallon of premium. Wow. That's insane. So coming up, Superman and Wokery with colorist Ethan Van Sciver.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
That's right. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter over at Substack as well. So this has been a big topic of conversation in my house because I like movies based on comics, and I really get into the characters and I get into their backstory. And my husband is like, he's like, Superman's the best character, and I kind of like Spider-Man, and I go a little bit Marvel, and my husband's solidly DC, so there's a little bit of some conflict, and my kids are caught in the middle, and they're like two Christmases. But long story short, I was really kind of blown away by A, how insane the wokery has gotten, and B, where it has spread and how fast it spread. And of course, one of the stories that we've been talking about this week is the situation with Superman, right? So Superman, you have Superman's son. I don't know why it should be important to any of us, like what his son wants to do, like in his romantical private time. I mean, it's like, do we really care? Can you kill people that are bad? You can? Okay, let's go do that. And by let's, you. And then this, now it's not truth, justice in the American way. It's truth, justice, and a better tomorrow, whatever the hell that means. And a lot of people have been speaking out about it, but none more so influential than the people who are in the industry who help create these characters that you have grown to love. And one of those artists joins us now, Ethan Van Sciver, who has a really cool name. I mean, he has three names. Ethan Van Sciver. That's a pretty authoritative name. I dig it. And Ethan, you can find him all caps comics on Twitter at Ethan Van Sciver. And he's illustrated, he's done covers for a number of different titles, you know, working with primarily DC, as I understand it. And you can also find him at comicsgate.org. He's spoken out about this quite a bit. And Ethan joins us now via Skype. Ethan, pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, this is a real pleasure. I appreciate it. I'm a big fan, so it's nice to be on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm a big fan of what you do. And this is why when I see, you know, people of your stature in this industry that speak out on this, I mean, when the people who are creating the worlds that we see and who are bringing them to life and who are, you know, however, in whatever aspect, that's pretty significant. Talk to me a little bit about this, because I know you've tweeted about it extensively, and there's been a lot of feedback that we've gotten since talking about the story from around the country and our markets around the country from folks. How do you react to this? Because it's Superman. This is where people go for an escape, and now you can't escape anything anywhere.
No, it's so typical. I mean, the industry, the comic book industry, like a lot of other industries that are kind of hobby-based, that are, you know, for kids, that are all about raising kids with a sense of morals and who they're supposed to be, have been invaded by these social justice warriors. They're radical left-wing activists. And for some reason, these big corporations are allowing them. I think they're hiring them on purpose at this point. I think that it's part of the agenda. And DC Comics held out for a long time. Marvel Comics went woke way back in 2014 or 2015. DC Comics kind of held out. But recently, they were purchased by a bigger corporation, AT&T, which is like $171 billion in debt. And so they purchased Warner Media, which includes DC Comics, for the intent purpose, I guess, of trying to get out of debt. And the first thing that they did was they fired everybody that I knew in editorial that was holding out against woke, fired them. All of the editorial, all of the people that I worked with, gone, and replaced them with activists who are now one by one changing all of these characters and into woke diversity versions of these characters. Wonder Woman is now gay. Aqualad is now gay. Robin is gay. The new thing, Superman is gay. Catwoman is gay. Poison Ivy.
Catwoman?
Catwoman, yes. I mean, that's shocking, isn't it? I thought she had a thing with Batman.
Yeah, I thought she had a thing with Batman. I mean, that's this. It is, and we're talking with Ethan Van Sciver, who is an illustrator, and he's worked with DC, and he's, you know, helped bring all these characters to life over the years. I mean, I understand the argument that people have when they're like, oh, I want representation and whatever. Why can't you create your own thing? Why do you have to rewrite canon?
Well, that's a good question. You know, they've announced that they're going to do a black Superman and a black Batman. They're going to be making movies about these new versions of those characters. And I've asked them, I've said, you know, back in 1993, they hired a whole collection of like amazing African-American creators who created something called Milestone Comics, brand new African-American superheroes who everybody loved. But they didn't sell well enough. And so DC Comics kind of just shelved those characters and those creators. And even though fans have been asking for those milestone creators to come back with their characters for 25 years now, they're not for some reason. And I think it's because those creators have a piece of those characters and DC's going to have to shell out money to them. Wow. Instead, why not do diversity this way, you know, by taking characters that we own more of and then turning them into diverse versions of those characters, save a little money. And a lot of this is about copyright and trademark issues. A lot of it is. The Truth, Justice, and the American Way line that everybody loves, they lost the trademark to it. It was a trademark line.
What? How do you lose it? Who dropped that ball? How do you lose that trademark?
It's not there. I want to blame them, but it's not their fault. It just became generic. So, you know, you could say, hey, this is, you know, this is the Dana Show. We're all about truth, justice, and the American way. It's like aspirin. Everybody uses that phrase now. DC Comics, according to the USPTO, can no longer trademark that phrase. They still have faster than a speeding bullet, but they lost it and they were embarrassed about it. They've been hiding the fact that they lost it since 2006. And if you remember the Superman Returns movie, okay, there was a scene where Perry White goes, Superman, he's all about truth, justice, and all that other stuff, right?
Oh, my gosh.
They were embarrassed of it.
That you just that is all, like, resonating with me right now. And I did not even notice that at the time. I did not even notice it.
Everybody was frustrated by it. We all kind of went, what's going on? Why are you ashamed of America all of a sudden, DC? Well, I think they feigned a little bit more in that direction. They had Superman renounce his American citizenship in, I think, 2010 it was. He said he no longer wanted to be an instrument of American foreign policy. Stop. You know, it's like Superman. Don't think of Superman that way. Superman is, he represents what's wonderful about America. He represents the fact that we have power, terrific, amazing power. We were raised with American values. And we fight against tyranny. That's what Superman's meant to be. That's what America is. That's what the American way is.
Exactly.
Individualism.
It almost feels weird to say I'm glad it's more of a trademark issue than the wokery issue, at least for. Although him say, you know, as you were just saying, renouncing Superman, renouncing his citizenship and all of that stuff. That's that's the thing, you know, the activists and everybody that they all get involved in this and then they feel like they have to like rewrite these characters. To me, that seems insulting to the representation and their objective because they're limiting themselves to what is already created instead of, and I understand that with, you know, now with AT&T owning all of this, that it might be, you know, a monetary issue, but think of, I mean, if they write a really good character that would go crazy. People are starved for good original content. Hell, that's why I started watching anime during lockdown because I couldn't find anything good and original anymore. So I became like this anime like monster and I was embarrassed about it at first. Now I don't care. I love it. But talk to us a little bit about that because there's so many more ideas out there. And it just is like just trying to work in the confines of what's already created. That's not fun.
No, it isn't. But I mean, these are corporate characters now. It's no longer about creativity. All they're doing is pumping out propaganda. And one has to wonder, I'm going to blow your mind here a little bit. And I want you to think about this. This is just a theory I have. Okay. And this is what I do on my YouTube channel. I theorize and I tend to be right. I happen to know that there are woke librarians who actually receive taxpayer funding and then spend that money on small press companies and say, if you hired these woke creators to make James Bond into a transgendered black woman, then we will buy a whole gross of these books, of these graphic novels to stock in our libraries. This is a fact. This is actually going on right now. Okay, so there's a lot of this kind of SJW far left wing radical propaganda disguised as graphic novels appearing in public libraries.
Librarians.
That's right. So wait a second. Is this happening on a bigger level? Okay. I mean, is it possible that these big corporations who are terribly in debt are receiving money from the government to make propaganda out of superheroes?
Ooh.
I think it deserves a little investigation, and that's what I'm going to do on my YouTube channel.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I think I'm right.
I want to watch and listen to that for sure, because it wouldn't be the first time the government's done stuff like this. I mean, I think of all of the propaganda in World War One and World War Two. It was propaganda, but they were cool looking propaganda posters, and they weren't mean. It was like, ladies, do your hair in victory rolls and plant your victory garden. And my favorite was, if you're not carpooling, then you're riding with Hitler. That was an actual poster that they had. It legit was a real poster that they put out. So it was there was one common enemy now. And that's the other thing. The world seems to be so reduced with this. And my mind is completely blown that I feel like we now need to get more people in librarian services. That's like a science. What is it? Library science or something like that? Mm-hmm. We're missing, as you know, independent thinkers. We need to also conquer that area too. But it does feel like all of the fights and everything that all of the social justice warriors have, they're diminishing the big good versus evil fights that you're able to have in these amazing, you know, fantasy spaces and in the world of comics. They're reducing everything down to fighting because, you know, over gender recognition or who someone's boyfriend or girlfriend is. And oh my gosh, like, can we aim higher?
No, Dana, see, they're good and we're evil. That's the entire point of everything that they want to say. That's what it comes down to. You know, liberal, far left wing. I don't even want to say liberal anymore.
I know. Yeah, because it's an far insult to classical liberals. Yeah.
Yes. Far left wing radicals are good guys. They are good people and we are bad people. And we're just going to have to deal with that through every aspect of entertainment that we used to enjoy. And that's just the way it's going to be. They just announced today that the Amazons on Paradise Island, where Wonder Woman grew up, are trans.
What?
Yes, it doesn't make any sense.
That completely, you know what? No, screw that. Screw that, because they were amazing, strong women who kicked ass, and I refuse to accept this. They're robbing women of, like, iconic female characters. No, I will riot. I've never rioted before. Not sure how that will work. But we'll figure something out.
We don't know how.
You're kidding me.
We don't know how to riot. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't. Like, would you knock over some of the coffee displays somewhere, or like kick a sweater set at the Gap? I don't even know what that.
I think you hold a sign and yell.
Yeah,
march,
that's true.
In a circle,
yeah,
right?
Just politely though. Like, don't oppress us, please, with our signs. So now they're doing. I'm sorry, I interrupted you because you just kind of blew my mind for a second. Go ahead and please continue. I apologize.
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, that, you know, every single day, you know, they are, DC Comics is currently they want to do more with gender. They want to do more with sexual identity. And again, you know, this is all stuff that's aimed at your kids. Understand, this is comics. You know, we talk about them. We still enjoy them. We're adults. I make them. I make them for a living. But all of this is aimed at socially engineering your children. That's why there are woke librarians buying this stuff and stocking it in public school libraries where your second grader can get a hold of it. They know what your kids are listening to, reading, looking at. They want to change your kids. We look at it as adults and we get angry because we're diverted. We're worried about, what about good stories?
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, it's not even about that. It's about changing who you are, changing who your kids are, and reaching your kids where you can't.
Wow.
Unless you can make comic books. Want to join me and make comic books?
I cannot draw for anything, but I will totally serve as in any capacity that I can. It'll be the worst comic book you've ever seen. And I can't color very well either. I know where my skill set is, man. I'm nowhere. I can't even compare. So Ethan, we're out of time, but I would love to have you back. Cause this is huge. And I think that this is a huge culture dictates everything. And I think that this is like one of the most important issues. And so I would love to have you back. And I'm definitely going to check out your YouTube channel when you dive down that rabbit hole and look at all of the propaganda, because that's fascinating. Ethan Van Scrivener. I'm not even saying Scrivener. Now I'm talking about my writing app that I use for the love. I'm always like either someone's Twitter handle or their first name. So, Ethan, I appreciate you joining us. Love to have you back. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate
my
what
pleasure.
You do.
Anytime.
Take care. Thank you.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
I'm mad because, you know, I play Call of Duty. And so the salsa dancer who became the model for DJI Garcia on Call of Duty Cold War, he is mad at me because he's like, how dare you say that about, it's on Twitter if you want to read it. You can't say that about Alec Baldwin. And I'm like, here's one of his like jerkwad tweets where he was blaming me for the and telling everybody I was stepping over dead bodies. So you said the same to him, right? I feel like I want to play DJI Garcia over the weekend and just let him get mauled by zombies over and over again. That's what I feel like I'm going to do, man. Just
man, screen grab that.
Dude, I will. I will. I will, man. It's going to totally tank my ranking, but you know, I'll do it. You know, I'll take one for the team. All right, folks, I promised you a mailbag of hate and I totally screwed you over. But I didn't anticipate everything happening that happened today. I promised you, hands to the sky, I will do it Monday. I'm so sorry. I'm bad. Just be mad at me. All right, today in stupidity came.
Oh, it's our president. Are you surprised? He's mocking the unvaccinated and those with natural immunity, actually, by saying things like this.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
Really? Our president mocking freedom, actually, too. Right there.
I'm afraid to kill you with my COVID. Golly. That's way to be divisive, President McMunity. Yeah. I mean, and then also, it's not an immediate death sentence either. But, anyway. Folks, that does it for us this week. All right. God love you. Be back with you Monday.